All righty, Dighty. Welcome back to the Lady Dicks podcast. Obviously, it's a podcast. That would be weird if it wasn't. considering it's always been one. This week we are talking about Zombie Road, which is in St. Louis. St. Louis. It's American. Missouri. So that's going to be a fun time. This episode isn't going to be as long as our regular episodes because it was only like a few pages when I was writing it. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it, guys. It is what it is. So yay for this quick little short episode. That's probably going to take us like 2 hours to record anyway, because we'll just chat and people will be like, what are you talking about? This is a long episode. The hour count is like an hour and 15 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so welcome to the
actual content is 4 pages.
Yeah, it's not very long. And, yeah, we're back for this week. Yay me.
Back.
I don't know what I'm doing again. With life.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki. We're glad you didn't ghost us. I guess before we get into our episode, as per usual, the old housekeeping checklist. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through it.
Yep.
So this is a comedy podcast, and we combine paranormal, true crime, history, freaky deaky shit, into one little lovely package with a little bow on top because we're us. And yeah, if you don't like that combination, then we will ask you to not listen and leave a negative review because we're warning you about it in the front. And second on the checklist, we use foul languages. Foul languages, yep.
Multiple so
we swear in all of the languages.
That could be a thing. I don't know if we've done it yet, but it could be a future thing. We use foul language, and we don't recommend it with your little kidlets around, so put in your headphones or wait until they're out of the room just in case we drop an F-bomb. You never know.
Yay.
And with that, I will pass it over to my trusty co-host, Andrea.
Hey, guys. The Lady Dicks is an independent podcast, which means we don't have any big budgets, and we rely on support from our awesome listeners. So if you love our podcast and you want to help us out, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting app. And if you want to go check out our Patreon, we are working on some new Patreon-only episodes. So show us the love.
Yeah, come hangsies with us, please. All right. Okay, so just outside of St. Louis, Missouri, who, by the way, it's the hometown of John Hamm, in case anyone cares.
I was not actually aware of that, but now I know.
Here's the thing. John Hamm is in all of those like Skip the Dishes commercials that I love, even though I don't own a TV or cable.
I see them all the time, too.
I still like to watch them.
Quite brilliant.
And they are so, very good. And also he's basically like the like middle-aged version of like a Ken doll with brown hair. So obviously
basically
I love
Tay's
him.
Dreamboat.
Yeah, basically man. He's my dreamboat. So I know where he's from. I know where everyone's from. Let's just assume I know everything.
I wouldn't be surprised if you had those commercials, those Skip the Dishes commercial ads, downloaded on your computer just so you could watch them before you're going to watch a movie or something.
Oh, like
just
save, to something yeah, to like make in. My own commercials. Oh my God, that's a brilliant idea. All right. I have to add that later.
Add that to the old checklist.
Put that on the list later. Okay. So John Hamm used to live there, might still live there. I actually don't know. And it doesn't really matter. But let's assume that he's probably been to Zombie Road because I feel like it. Now, the actual name is not Zombie Road. It's Lawler Ford Road, which sounds like a more professional road name, but whatever. And it's also sometimes referred to as Al Foster Trail because the term road is a little bit misleading since cars don't drive on it, but whatever. However, even in like the tickets that police write for trespassers, which we'll talk about later, you can't go there at nighttime. So that's like a big thing. Don't go there. Tickets are very expensive. The police do actually write like Zombie Road on it. So it started becoming known as Zombie Road in the 1950s and is really, I mean, that's what they call it. It might not be the official name, but it's the name. It sits on what's described as the site of the largest indigenous burial mounds in America. Now, we had a discussion before we started the podcast that none of us actually know what burial mounds are, and we feel like it's probably the word grounds, but it was in an article that I read, and that was a thing. So if you can tell us the difference between mounds and grounds in this context, that would be pretty cool. I could also Google it, but I literally stopped writing the episode about 5 minutes before we got on this call, so didn't really have a lot of extra time. Here we go. Here's Google. Oh, do you have Google?
I got some Google. I got Google up. I got Google. A mound erected over the dead, especially one constructed by the Indian mound builders of North America. I don't know if that actually helps us or not, but...
Okay, so...
Erected over the dead.
Isn't though... Well, I guess that's a little bit different than a grave, but, you know, like, they throw mounds of dirt on graves when people are buried.
Built over the graves. So it's probably like a mass grave that they just piled a bunch of dirt over.
Okay. Top of. Actually... That makes sense. It's
my very scientific explanation.
Obviously. Nicole's an expert Thank you, in this Andrea. Area because she read the Wikipedia article.
dictionary.com. Oh, of Thank course. You very much.
Gosh, how could I confuse the two? So I guess grounds and mounds in this context would both be correct. That's the lesson for today, kids. Okay, besides that, that's literally the only time we're going to mention that. So I'm glad we do all this Wikipedia searches for like one sentence per usual.
All right. 5 minutes on one little topic and let's, Yay. Okay, we're moving on.
So Amazing. Anyway, so, you know, obviously anything that in the paranormal world that like has some sort of indigenous roots is like, people always build like a spooky story off that. So the trail itself is 10 feet wide, and it's currently paved. But much of it has fallen into disrepair, and nowadays you can't drive cars on it. It's largely impassable via car. I'm sure that the city probably drives cars on it. I will say that as like a caveat. If you happen to be there and there's like a car driving by and you're like, hey, those bitches told me that cars can't drive on here, that's why. It's most often used nowadays as a biking and hiking path. So, you know, you can go for a nice little like romantic walk there with yourself, if you're me. This road has a very rich history with roots dating back hundreds of years. The trail winds through these really beautiful woods and then ends kind of abruptly at what used to be a rock quarry, which... In my experience with rock quarries, because my grandfather had one, it's basically like rock piles. So yay. Very scenic, very beautiful. And that was closed and abandoned in the 1970s. The official road was constructed in the 1860s. So like it was there before, but they made it into like a legit road. The indigenous tribes initially used the trail and the area surrounding it to cross the Merrimack River, which I assume is in Missouri, because that would be a place that it would be. Then, during the American Civil War that took place between 1861 to 1865, I have the dates in there because I'm not American and I actually didn't know. I'm going to assume that most Americans do know those dates, but whatever.
I wouldn't make that assumption.
That's true. That's fair. I would assume that more of them would know than I knew, but... In any case,
same.
Zombie Road during that time was like a really well-traveled path, like route to the west. So that's all great. All of the eerie vibes that are like experienced by people in the area, the strange shadows and the dark lurking nights make it a generally unsettling place, which makes the perfect grounds for spooky stories.
Love it. Just sounds unsettling.
Exactly.
But I mean, you never know until you experience it yourself. But I'll take other people's word for it too.
Yeah, I'm not going there, so I'm just gonna assume that.
Yeah.
Assume that it's all true.
Exactly. The area around Glencoe served as a resort community until the mid-1940s. At that time, many of the houses around the area were converted for year-round visitors, but otherwise were simply left abandoned and decaying, which only added to the creepiness of the area, which, if anyone's seen pictures of an abandoned home or whatever, structure, in-person pictures, whatever, you would definitely know that it just makes the whole setting of that, wherever it is, really eerie.
There's actually like...
And decrepit.
An abandoned house. There's like a few where I am right now. But like 3 blocks from where I'm like currently sitting, there's like an old family homestead. It's called the Masongale House. And it's like, it's one of those like classic, like the structure's still standing, but like all the windows and doors have been blown out. And if you go up to it, which you're technically not supposed to because the owners of the property live like really close and they're like super don't want people on their property. We went in like one time and we took some really cool photos, Matt and I, but basically there's like old like kitchen appliances, like just like laying around the house. And then there's like big holes in the floor and it's like, it's a really creepy house. But in the morning when you walk
by, it also sounds kind of dangerous.
Oh, it's super dangerous. We didn't go in it. We're not nuts.
No wonder the owners don't want people on there, because then you can sue them.
I know,
like,
right?
Fall in a hole, break your leg, and then sue the owners.
Yeah, it's like a legit request that they don't want people in there. That's a legit thing. It's cool. However, if you walk by there in the morning, it looks really like cool, like prairie, like what you would see in the movies. If you walk there at night, it fucking looks like there's ghosts lurking in the windows. Like, I'm not even kidding. Just like the wind blowing and the moon hitting it. It's so creepy.
Maybe that's why they no longer reside in it or have people living in
it. I don't think
it.
They ever resided in it. It's on farmland, like, so it's technically in the village, but it's on a big piece of farmland that they own. So I think they've got animals on the other end of the property. So it's just kind of sits there, literally falling to pieces.
Interesting.
It's really weird.
Although, you know what? The fact that it has like a name, like, houses with like names, I'm like, I kind of want to be that person in the future, like living in a house that has a fucking name. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
The house,
like,
of the time,
I'm living in this blah blah blah. It's like, yeah
that's
I am
fair. It's called the Masongale House because the Masongale family lived in it in, like, you know, the early 1900s. That's why.
See, until
that's
a cool they were name, like too. Viciously murdered and their ghosts still haunt it now.
Cannot confirm or deny. Don't know what happened to the Masongale family. They, as far as I know, they're not in the area anymore, so maybe they did all get murdered in their house, which is why, ladies and gentlemen, you put windows in your house and doors. I'm just kidding. No, it's like it was an old homestead. We actually have, our family has a homestead too, which you technically, we used to visit as kids, but the house has collapsed, so you have to be super careful when you're going in. My grandfather, terrible influence, used to like take us into the house and we'd find like treasures and stuff. And I once found one of those like old fashioned perfume bottles with like the puffy thing on the end.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And that's like an original homestead. So when our family came into the area, they built, that was like the very first house they built. So
that's cool.
There's almost every family in the area has like an original homestead if they've been here long enough. But they're not all in good shape like ours. We didn't take care of ours. It was probably not built very well either, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's my fun little story about abandoned houses.
Still super cool.
It is.
So there are old shacks and ruins that run along the beach. We're talking about the zombie trail area now.
Yes.
Back to the story. That run along the beach at the end of the trail, and it's a hotbed for ghostly sightings. I should come to expect that, but it, you know, still gave me the gigs. Many report ghostly sightings of former homeowners, of course, biding their time in their favorite vacation spots.
Ooh.
There are specific apparitions, too. At the Trail End, hikers and bikers report the specter of a mysterious old woman who yells at passersby from a house, but when they go to investigate, the woman is never there. Then there's the ghost of a young boy who fell from the bluffs along the river to his death. His body was never found. Ghosts of indigenous people who previously lived on the land and used at least part of the road as trails are reported. Then other ghosts of Confederate soldiers, school children, and quarry workers who were maimed by machines on the job. And overall, the area is just unsettling. Hikers often report unsettled feelings and sensations of being watched, which is super fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the eerie sounds, unexplainable noises, and disembodied footsteps. Of course, all of the good things that go with an eerie place and ghosts.
Yeah, you gotta have some eerie stuff to go with the ghosts and zombies.
So we did a thing.
We definitely did a thing.
We made an audio ghost walking tour with our favorite audio tour app, Trivia Tours.
Trivia makes these really cool self-guided audio tours that you can listen to while you walk or drive, depending on the tour. So it's like you're on a group guided tour, like you'd take on vacation, but you're by yourself.
Kind of like a vacation for your mind.
Definitely a vacation for your mind. Our first tour was just released, and we're taking you on a historical, ghost-filled walking tour down Hollywood Boulevard.
So if you're in Los Angeles and you're itching to hang out with your favorite hashtag dick squad, download the app, get the tour, and head down to Hollywood Boulevard, and we can all go for a little stroll through history.
Here's how you get your own copy of the tour.
Head to the Apple or Google Play App Store and type in Trivia. That's T-R-I-P-V-I-A, in case you can't spell, and download the app.
When it's downloaded, you can hop into the app and purchase the tour. Every tour purchased helps make it so that we can bring you more awesome content and future ghost tours.
Once you've finished the tour, make sure to jump on your favorite social media app and let us know how much fun it is. And don't forget to tag at Trivia Tours on Facebook and Twitter, or at Trivia _ Tours on Instagram, so they know you loved it too.
Where do you think we should go next?
I've got a few ideas.
In the 1950s, when the road got its nickname, it was a local hotspot for teenage couples looking to get away. By this time, the road was falling into disrepair. The winding curves made it a dangerous road for cars to drive on, with it being hard to see what was coming beyond the next bend. It was a hotbed place for accidents. The name Zombie Road was adopted from the legend of Zombie, a serial killer who used to live out in one of the abandoned shacks along the trail. According to the legend, Zombie, aka the Zombie Killer, escaped from a nearby hospital and disappeared somewhere along Lawler Ford Road, leaving his blood-soaked clothes on the side before vanishing into the woods. He lived out his days in one of the abandoned homes. He would sneak out into the woods at night and attack young lovers who used the area looking for a place to be alone, supposedly murdering them. However, this theory is debunked by the fact that no hospital was in the area, nor did any slightly out of the area report losing such a character. Furthermore, there are no serial killings reported in the area.
So we can't. I was going to say, where's the bodies?
True yeah. story.
Or the missing people.
Yeah.
Though we can't report that there are no creepy dudes hanging out in the shacks alongside the road. Because, yeah, like, usually abandoned places don't attract creepy people looking for a place to hide out. No, that doesn't sound...
It never happens. So never. She's got, like, full-fledged fucking houses. That's where I would go.
It only happens in the movies. What are you talking about?
We're sure at some point in history someone was lurking in one of those summer homes. I am quite sure of that.
Positive of that.
A slightly different story related to Zombie is that he worked at an orphanage run by sadists.
AKA he was one of them, obviously.
And that the area around Zombie Trail contains a cemetery of murdered children. Though it's important to note that this is something that cannot be proved. Further to that, there was no orphanage in and around the area that could have served that purpose. So basically, it's just like teenagers trying to make up stories to scare each other or parents trying to scare their teenagers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was true, they would have definitely, like, you know, gone and found some bodies. If there was, in fact, a cemetery full of murdered children, like, somebody would have found that because, I mean, that's just wrong.
I would hope that someone would have found it.
Yeah.
Okay, so in... Well, let's go back in time a little bit, you know, before the 50s. Before it was Zombie Road. In 1868, the Glencoe Marvel Company, yay, opened. They mined limestone deposits. Definitely not... I have depositions in the script, but they definitely did my depositions. Ha, huh, all the funny lawyers out there will get that joke. There's no lawyers that listen to this podcast. God, I hope not. Anyway, not depositions, but the deposits, which is weird because they were a marble company. I assume that limestone has something to do with marble, but who the fuck knows? They set up a small railroad in the area and used trucks to haul stone and gravel down the road until the quarry at the end of the road eventually shut down in the 1970s, which we mentioned before. Remnants of the abandoned railroad built by the mining company in the late 1800s extended along the river and passed through what would later obviously become Glencoe. God damn it, people.
It's almost like me saying gloast.
Glencoe.
It's like the Glencoe Club.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, I can never pronounce that either. Anyway, so this railroad, there's still a few remnants of the railroad that you can see near kind of the end of Zombie Road. But just a hint of a railroad is all that you need to stir up spooky stories. You can also spook up stories. Visitors report seeing a translucent figure in white walking along the abandoned line that simply vanishes, leaving a bluish white light behind. But when they go to investigate, the light also disappears. Some believe this might be the ghost of Della McCullough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds legit. Della Hamilton McCullough was the wife of a local judge in the area. I assume his name was Judge McCullough, but couldn't tell you. In 1876, she was unfortunately hit by an oncoming train. I don't really have any details of what happened. I assume she wasn't in a car because it was in the 1800s. Perhaps she was in her horse and buggy. I don't really know. There are no records that I could find, although I did read that some other people found them. So perhaps they do exist. But local legend does say it, in fact, happened. And nowadays, her ghost is often touted as the ghost that haunts the area, the one that's like on the train tracks. Thank you. God.
Damn the main it. Ghostly attraction.
Yes. Ghost number one, could you please step to the front?
Yeah.
Excuse me, she is the ghost.
She is the only fucking ghost, guys. She's not. She's just ghost number one.
Others think it's one of the other restless spirits of rail accident victims. Over the years, the sharp bend in the track leading to the area being a site of frequent derailments. So danger zone right there. Mm-hmm.
Although I will point out that I couldn't actually find any other records of rail incidents. I'm sure they did happen. And if it was like the 1800s, it's probably hard to find. We actually probably have to be there in person and go to like a local historic society to find them. I did not. Yeah,
they'd probably be like written documents or something that they have just like filed away or something like that.
Exactly. Or like those old like newspaper clippings you see in the movies where they have to flip through. Yeah.
That would also be definitely there probably. I don't know. Because I'm not there.
Neither am I.
It makes sense. Eventually, due to the continued losses, this part of the service was discontinued. Rumors of another rail victim, a man hit by an oncoming train from the 1970s, is also talked about, but there's no record of a rail-related death taking place near Zombie Road in the 70s. So that's a little mysterious, a little mystery right there for you. In 2010, the road was paved and renamed Rock Hollow Trail, which leads us to now... where the road is a popular hiking and biking trail located just outside the city. Troy Taylor, ghost hunter, but self-proclaimed healthy skeptic, has dedicated several chapters of one of his books to Zombie Road in an attempt to prove or disprove the alleged paranormal activity on the road. But though the area is unsettling, he cannot confirm the activity. However, it should be noted that a separate paranormal group reported to have taken a photo of alleged shadow people lining the trees near the road. That gives me the creeps.
The photo, I forgot to copy it, but whatever. I'll just put a link to it in the episode thing. I am not like, I mean, there was totally shadow people there, but like they were shadows of people there. Whether they were shadow people, totally different story. Most likely other people just standing there. Although they were like, there's no one else in the area. I don't know. So,
yeah.
It would have been creepy if it was real. I just don't believe that it was a real photo.
Just the thought of it is creepy.
That's true. That's very true.
Real or not. It's just a creepy thought. While Zombie Road might not actually be full of paranormal beings, ghosts, and specters, they say that even the biggest paranormal skeptics describe the road as being, quote, claustrophobic. It also never appears to be the same length twice to visitors. So that's another weird little fact there for ya. That would be interesting. Peculiar, one could say.
You can visit Zombie Road yourself if you happen to be in and around the St. Louis area. It's on the outskirts of the city of Wildwood, which sits on the western edge of St. Louis County. As we said at the top of this episode, the road is really named Lawler Ford Road, and it's also called Al Foster Trail. But regardless of the name you use, you can absolutely visit it during the day. Otherwise, you'll get a ticket.
Yeah, you'll get in big trouble. Don't do it.
You might, like, trip and fall and hurt yourself. So, you know, it's just not usually a good idea.
Or get murdered by the zombie serial killer. Just saying.
You never know.
And become one of the shadow people.
Right? Oh, my God. There's, like, a whole story behind it.
This 2.3-mile trail weaves through forest, and the area is often referred to as a wilderness park. Yay. The park is closed at night. It opens 1 hour before sunrise and closes an hour after sunset. Police have written hundreds of tickets for visitors that violate those rules that literally say Zombie Road on them. And the fines are up to $1,000. So make sure to avoid heading there at night.
It's a really fucking expensive ticket.
That's a really expensive ticket.
That's more than throwing a cigarette butt out the window.
Or, like, more than
distracted driving charges.
Yeah, or distracted driving. It's
like, it's hefty. That shit's serious. That's some serious shit right there.
Unfortunately, there was no, like, TripAdvisor entry for Zombie Road, so we can't read poor reviews.
Because it's such a popular tourist destination.
It's probably like a local. You know how like Bowness Park is like used by locals, but is not a fucking tourist destination. It's probably like that.
Well, I wouldn't recommend like going to Bonas even if you're a local. I mean, the park, neither I guess, is okay.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't like stuff, don't but... go hang out in Bonas, but like Bonas Park is nice. I'm just saying it's like not on the top list of things to do when you go to Calgary, but like locals use it.
Unless so you want to like hit up a really entry. Depressing area. Sorry to people who love Bonas.
There's some like there,
with tons of people.
Legit bars in the area though. This is it for this episode. Like I said, super short episode. We're like 30 minutes, guys. So nice quick one. We'll be back with something longer next week. And yeah, if you want to hangsies with us online, you can go to theladydicks.com per use. You can sign up for the newsletter, which you definitely should do. You can hang out at Patreon. You can find us on all of the socials at The Lady Dicks. And yeah, that's it for me.
And in the meantime, try not to ghost anyone.
Yay.
That was a lot of bums.
It was a lot of bums. It was a lot of bums in that one. What was that?
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Yes.
My roommate is downstairs either watching a hockey game or playing a video game.
He sounds charming.
He got mad at some. There was definitely F-bomb dropping.
We could tell. We could hear it. It was actually like quite loud.